Thank you. So our scripture today comes to us from Acts 15, verses 1 through 18. Then certain individuals came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to discuss this question with the apostles and the elders. So they were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and said, "It is necessary for them to be circumcised and ordered to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders met together to consider this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "My brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that I should be the one through whom the Gentiles would hear the message of the good news and become believers. And God, who knows the human heart, testified to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And in cleansing their hearts by faith, he has made no distinction between them and us. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors nor we have been able to bear? On the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus, just as they will." The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins I will rebuild it, and I will set it up so that all other peoples may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called. Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago.'" Here ends the reading. Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus the Christ. Given this text from Acts and the fact that it is Mother's Day, I couldn't help but think about when my mother lived and all of the laws and the traditions that changed during her lifetime. She was born in 1908 and died in 2000. For example, I will always remember the day she wore her first pantsuit. It was navy blue and very stylish for the time, and it looked pretty good on her little 5'2 frame. She wore it proudly, quite happy that for the first time, women didn't have to put on a skirt or a dress and heels to go out in public. They could just be themselves and as comfortable as a man in pants and a jacket, although some objected to this new fashion rule. Did you know that seeing a woman wearing pants in public raised the question, who really wears the pants in that family? One law was abolished. One that drastically changed her life was a law that she was able to finally receive Holy Communion. She was a very faithful Irish Catholic woman, but she married my father, who was, oh, heaven forbid, a Presbyterian. And for doing that, she was excommunicated. Oh, she could still attend Mass, but she was forbidden to receive the sacraments. So as a child, I had to sit in my pew and watch her either sit in the pew or kneel, as she frequently did, as I went up to receive communion along with others. But she could not. She just had to sit there and have everyone look at her. Why? Because in the church's eyes, she was not worthy. In the church's eyes, God's grace did not extend to her. And when I was old enough to figure all that out and put two and two together, I ran from the church as fast as I could. In the scripture we heard today, a similar thing is going on in the very early church. There's a controversy going on between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians regarding the law. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, and in order to remain true and faithful to the old Mosaic law, they said that circumcision must continue to be done in order for someone to be saved. The Gentiles said, no, that's not quite the case, that Jesus came to set people free from being under that law, and that was no longer a requirement for salvation. God's grace was sufficient. It was enough. This was a big deal in the early church, and in order to settle the dispute and answer the question, could Jesus, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, could he still be that person and yet bring salvation apart from the law? In order to settle that, the first church council was born. It was a huge deal. Paul, Barnabas, and some others, it's not clear who the others were, are sent from the church in Antioch to meet with the leaders in Jerusalem. There's dissension, there's controversy, and the matters at hand were not settled in a few hours. We don't know how long it took, but sources say that it got pretty ugly at times. But in the midst of the assembly, Peter is the first one to speak to those gathered, and he reminds the people that God called him, a Jew, to preach the message to the Gentiles, and that they, by faith, would receive the same Spirit as the Jews. This proved that God accepted all people, Jews and Gentiles, in his household. Peter goes on to say in verse 10, so why then are you putting God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke that neither our ancestors or we have been able to bear? In other words, circumcision is not the answer. Jews cannot live up to the law, so how can we expect anyone else to live up to it either? We're all human. No, Peter continues, on the contrary, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just as they will. There's nothing that we can do outwardly or inwardly except believe that determines our salvation. Then Barnabas and Paul go on to speak of all the signs and the wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. And finally, James gets up and he speaks and he reminds the people of what the prophet Amos spoke so long ago. I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen from its ruins. I will rebuild it, and I will set it up so that all other people may seek the Lord, even the Gentiles, over whom my name has been called. Well, the council, after taking time to hear both sides, after hearing these personal testimonies based on Scripture, finally decided that circumcision would not be required for the new converts, but they should go on and adhere to other Jewish laws, like abstaining from food sacrificed to idols, not eating meat from strangled animals, and not falling prey to sexual immorality. Professor Matt Skinner at Luther Seminary states that this decision was so big in the church. Tradition should have won out, but it didn't. If it had, Christianity would have continued to remain but another Jewish subdivision, another little religious sect. So we can thank Peter, Paul, Barnabas, James, and others who stood up for us at that first council meeting so that we could and can live freely, knowing that according to Scripture, we are indeed saved by God's grace through faith and nothing else, nothing of our own doing. And of course, we thank Martin Luther as well for continuing to preach that promise of salvation. In his Heidelberg Disputation in 1518, Luther said, the law says do this, and it's never done. Grace says believe in this, and everything has already been done. What beautiful words. The true heart of the matter is love and God's grace, God's redeeming love for all who believe, period. So what do we take from this lesson? The importance of being open and inclusive. As human beings, we know, at least I know myself, how easy it is to fall into the habit of judging, of drawing lines between myself and others, thinking I know what's best, between us and them, of keeping traditions that maybe should be let go of deciding who is in and who is out. I can do that very well. The text reminds me of the importance of community, of the need and the opportunity to respectfully voice our opinions and with due respect be heard, of taking time to discern God's voice and God's will in our decisions, and of the vital necessity of a wise yet understanding and compassionate church council. And I will be attending my first one in June, so we'll see how that goes. This text also invites me, as I hope it does you, to pray about the future of the church. Where, with God's help, might we be headed, both as a congregation in the ELCA and here in this place at Redeemer? How might God be calling us to let go of some of the old traditions that no longer seem to work, that positively serve the good of all? Just think. If tradition had dug its heels into the ground and won, I nor any other woman would be in the pulpit today. And as it is, here, you've got three of us. And I, for one, am happy. Some of you may not be, but it's a privilege I do not take lightly. If tradition had its way, Vatican II would have not happened, and my mother would not have tasted the sweetness of God's forgiveness, nor experienced God's grace through faith, through the sacraments, before her death. No, God's call to us is to proclaim the message of salvation by the grace of God in Jesus to all people, no matter what. Every day, we have opportunities to show God's love. And today, of course, is no exception as we gather with our loved ones, spend time with families, talk and mingle with people here, pray together, commune together, and show hospitality to people we are meeting maybe for the first time. We are also given the Great Commission to take God's love far outside of these walls, to the ends of the earth, maybe to Doulos. Where might God be calling you? As you leave the sanctuary this morning, our ushers are going to hand you one of these carabiners, one per family, that looks just like this. And on it are 10 little cards, invitations, if you will, that you are to pass out to people, inviting them to our worship services on the farm. You decide who you will give them to, hairdressers, doctors, co-workers, you decide, teachers. Notice on the back, it's got the times, it's got the instructions or the directions. You can go on our website. Weekly schedule is now at worshiponthefarm.org. You can see what's going to be happening from week to week. Dinner starts at 5:30 and there's worship at 6:30, as I said before. And kids will eat free with a paying adult, so you can't go wrong with that. And for the first-time visitors, if you bring this card, you eat free as well. These worship services promise to be fun. They're a wonderful way for us, along with four other churches in the White Bear area, to spread God's love, to reach other people and invite them in, to let them know of God's all-inclusive, redeeming love. So I hope that all of you will come and be a part of our Wednesdays on the farm, beginning, as I said, with the blessing of the animals on June 7th. Let us pray. Dear God, we know that nothing is set in stone, not even laws carved on cold granite and hauled down a mountain for weary travelers, not even the holiest of places where you yourself rested behind closed curtains as pilgrims jostled for position, not even a place of death far from the maddening crowd, darkness and defeat sealed with the groan of rock. Nothing is set in stone. For the law of love, our sanctuary, our light, and our life lives in you. Amen.
Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no one bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we the many.
Let us pray. Holy Risen One, we gather this day living the Alleluia. We come as we are. We come from different places, but we share one love. Accept the prayer we offer before you now. We pray for a time when people are set free from shackles of greed and selfishness, when the only rule we live by is that of compassion and love. God, you are for all people, and yet we come to you as a people divided over personal choices in food, clothing, hairstyles, piercings, tattoos, sports teams, brands of car, politics, worship styles. We let our preferences divide rather than staying united in you. Guide us as we encounter things and people who challenge us. Help us remember that we are one in the body of Christ. That even though we are each unique, we are all equally loved and beautiful, and that we need diversity to and one another to do your work in this world. We come to you, God, we are inflexible, we cling to tradition, we resist change, and we yearn for past securities. We reject risk, we are rooted in routine. Help us to let go of that which makes us hesitant, fearful, and reluctant. May our praise today sing new songs. May our fellowship find harmony in your presence. May we leave here holding on to nothing but your ever-changing, ever-faithful truth. God, you are as mother to us, and you give us biological families and families we choose. We thank you for all who serve as mothers. We ask that you comfort those who mourn the death of a mother, or who are alienated from their mother. Send your spirit to those who long for motherhood, for those mothers who have lost children, and for those who have never known their mothers. We pray for the ministries that are happening all over the world, especially our partnership with Doulas
and for the Iglesia Luterana de San Agustin in Guatemala, for the education they bring to young women especially and to all. God of the Alleluia, we cry out to you for all who are in need of healing, shelter, food, safety, peace, justice, and hope. We pray especially for those we name now out loud or in our hearts. For Melissa. Hold them in your hearts. Help them feel your love as they heal, O God. And give us hearts open to serve and the ability to know when it is time to offer your love with our service. We ask all this in your holy name, O God. Amen. We come to this table divided by what we see and what we know makes us different from one another. But this meal that Jesus gives us unites us in Christ. And though we keep what makes us unique, Christ's love draws us together to serve and to love. And so it was in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant shed for you in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it every time you gather in remembrance of me." Gathered into the one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ is the host of this meal. All are welcome. We take communion at this service by intinction, which means you will receive a wafer or a gluten-free wafer, if that is your need, and dip it into the chalice of red wine or white grape juice. The table is ready.
Grain of wheat, before Those who eat this bread shall live and never die. Bread of life, bread of life. Your true presence in this holy sacrifice. Bread of life, bread of life, bread of life. Your faithfulness revealed in this covenant you sealed with your very body.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Lord, you united us in this meal. Unite us as we go forth in sharing the love and forgiveness you so freely give. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to take a few minutes for Pastor Stephanie to say a few words about her upcoming mission trip to Guatemala. And then when she's done, we will bless her.
And in case you're wondering why the blessing is today and not closer to when I leave on the 27th, I'm serving solo next week, and they thought it might be weird for me to bless myself. Anyways, I had been invited to go to the church in Guatemala, San Agustin Luterana de Guatemala, by a member of my home congregation in West St. Paul. They go every year. They have a partner congregation, and the head of the task force is the member there, so she was saying, Stephanie, you have to go. I've heard so many wonderful things. We partner with their main church in providing education, like you've been doing with Doulos, and especially for young women, because in Guatemala, women aren't seen as equal. So it's wonderful ministry they do with that. They also have congregations in the northern jungle of Guatemala, which are basically leftover refugee villages from the civil war they had in the 90s. And they try to partner congregations in the St. Paul Area Synod with each of these congregations in the village. And we will be visiting two of those congregations. One of them is a new church start. And I'm excited to meet the people and to learn about what they do. And I'm needing prayers for my Spanish because I do speak it, and they'll know that. And they'll expect me to preach more than once in Spanish. So I could use your prayers that I don't say anything that comes out funny in Spanish.
Thank you. At this time, I invite people to come forward and place their hands on Stephanie, Pastor Stephanie, or you can do so from your pews as well. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you have called Pastor Stephanie to be a part of the St. Paul Area Synod's delegation to Guatemala. May your Holy Spirit inspire, encourage, equip, and challenge her as she travels with and ministers to people along the way. May she shine with your light, speak your words, and be your hands and feet in the mission field. We pray for the health and the safety of the entire delegation. Bless their time together, guide their conversations, and lead them always so that your will may be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'll invite you to stand for our last song.
Blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.